by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
For the lead!
Are you kidding me?
All right, and we are live on a special Columbus Day edition of the Massive Report podcast. What's going on? Yeah, Columbus Day.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly, or something along those lines. I don't know. Yeah. It's named after Columbus, Ohio, right?
Well, absolutely.
Because it wasn't even a federal holiday until the Roosevelt administration. So I can't believe it would be named after some dude, you know, way back in the day.
Right.
Nebraska.
Yes. Columbus, Nebraska.
Columbus, Georgia.
It's Columbus, Georgia Day.
Yes.
That's exactly what
Definitely
it is.
Not.
You know, Aaron Katzman, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Former Mass Report staffer, asked how on Twitter today, how does a person celebrate Columbus Day?
Yeah.
And I tried to figure out a way to reply to that in 140 characters or less, but I think it's based around oppressing a native.
Yeah.
So if you're going to celebrate Columbus Day, you have to find someone native to the area where you live.
Yeah.
And oppress them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And steal all their gold.
Or just come to Columbus. Come to Hendox and get drunk, which a lot of these people are doing.
Oh my God, we've been doing.
We have a crowd.
Holy crap!
I'm happy about this. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, it's okay. So. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm not going to tell anybody. Yeah, they're here for
it's
us.
It's totally for us.
Matt, they're
it's
here for you and
I.
It's
not to pick up their Massive City FFC
and
t-shirts.
It was not to meet
it was not to meet Matt Lampson.
Nope, they're here for Matt Jericho and me. That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly. That's totally what it is. Yeah. So joined by Chris, Justin, Nate, Sam, turning the gears. My name is Matt, and this is the show. so the crew.
Welcome to it.
Crew really disappointing over the weekend, quite honestly. No shots on goal.
No corners,
no passes.
Zero possession.
I don't know what Bliss is doing with this team.
I know. Somebody needs to get that hashtag started. Fire Brian Bliss. The guy, he barely got the team to show up for the game.
No production at all
at
in this
all.
Weekend's game.
Oh
and
God.
That's, I'm so disappointed in that.
I can't believe this is a thing that we have to experience this late in the season.
I'm really upset about it. So,
it must have been wasted. I don't remember.
Yeah. Dude, me too. That's the weird part.
Not.
I remember the entire Blue Jackets game from this weekend. I don't remember any of the crew games.
Because it was like before 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, the sad part is you don't want to remember the Blue Jackets game, but you'd like to remember the crew game.
I don't want to remember anything that happened during the Blue Jackets game this weekend. I just want to, you know.
But hey.
Although the chicken wings at Patrick J's were pretty nice.
But hey. How about them Buckeyes this weekend?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They didn't do
they
a whole,
didn't do a whole lot
they
either.
They didn't do a whole lot better than the crew did. Yeah, so there you go. Take that T-Bone and company.
Yeah, exactly. So let's break down after the bye week. Let's break down the playoff implications at this point with Mr. Nate Beckman. Nate, what do you got for me?
Take it away.
There's still a chance. I mean, we could have been eliminated this weekend. We aren't. And I went into great detail in my article, but essentially. There's about six games left that we aren't playing in that need to work out in our favor.
There are six results that we can't control that we really need to control.
They don't all have to be wins.
You know?
No. But in a lot of cases, they can't be wins for the other team. So
they need to be losses.
Yeah. So, for instance, Wednesday, Montreal, one of the teams that I didn't even consider – within range for a long time. They are completely crashing out, a la Seattle.
Yeah. What? Hey, so, has anybody else seen the website? Has Dempsey scored yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a thing.
That's a big no.
And no, he is not.
Yeah. So Montreal does not have to win or lose on Wednesday, for instance, when they play the Galaxy. But if they lose, it would be better.
Yeah.
If they lose and they go on the game against Philly, the best result would be a tie. Because then neither team wins, neither team gets over 47 points. Yeah. Crew would have the tiebreaker on Philly, on Montreal, on Chicago, if they actually ended up with 47 points, because we would have more wins.
I do want to point out one thing real quick here to our viewing audience tonight. There are girls here at Hendox, and they are cute.
And actually, that's what I was laughing at. My phone just told me, I just checked it on Foursquare, which I do because I'm a nerd. Yeah. And my phone just told me it's the first time in a long time that I've hung out with Caleb or Katie. And I really want to just tell my phone that it's way wrong. I see those fools 34 weeks a year in a row.
You checked in on Foursquare because Rachel.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Yeah. Hey now. Hey now. Now
I do what she says.
I checked in on Foursquare because I'm the mayor here. So there, 27 times the last 60 days.
I also love how it tells me every Monday night that I'm finally hanging out with Matt G. And I'm like, oh, my God, no. I see this guy way too often.
Yeah, we really do. Yeah. We really do. I really don't like you all that much.
I cannot wait until October 28th when you don't have to see NAU fools for like 8 weeks.
You realize we're still doing podcasts during the playoffs, whether or not the crew make it, right?
Don't break my heart,
Matt.
Yeah,
no, we're totally doing that. That's a thing. That's a thing. I want to remind everyone real quick before we get back into what we're actually talking about. We are going to do a Q&A segment, probably end of the second segment and the entire third segment. Since we're live tonight, anything that we talk about is fair game. Hashtag MRPod. Yes? Yes, Justin?
What do you mean we're live tonight?
We're live tonight.
See
we're
live tonight. That little thing
we're live
there.
Tonight via the magic of television.
I've literally done about five embarrassing things already.
Yeah, I know. Well that's right. Low for you. So
I apologize.
So get your crap together.
Let me go ahead.
How
and
do you
the
unpick a nose? I don't know. It's one of those questions.
That's one of those questions like how do you celebrate Columbus Day?
Yeah.
Maybe you we can throw
the sound of one hand clapping.
We will throw questions out to the audience just as they throw questions back to us.
Yes. So
they're also I have a feeling
it's
my Twitter
is
our Twitters are all about to blow up.
It's a weird synchronicity.
Yeah.
So,
wait, wasn't Nate talking about how the crew has to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I know, but I was plugging the thing we're doing in the third segment.
Oh.
Yeah, so shut up. Let me do my thing. So, here's the deal. You want us to answer a question? I don't care how off the wall it is. Keep it relatively R-rated, and I'm fine with it. But hashtag MRPod, anything that goes to there, as long as we have time, we're going to get to it. If you talk about Justin's haircut again, that we already covered that. So we already talked about that.
We cover that at 6:45 every Monday night.
We really do. Yeah. We really do. But other than that, fair game. So get that going, and we'll definitely address that during the third segment tonight. So back to the playoffs. Let's talk about that a little bit more, Nate.
Any scenario in which the crew actually would make the playoffs means they have to win two games. So I mean, to gloss over that, we definitely have two tough games ahead of us.
Yeah.
But we've got to win them or there's no talk. You know, I mean, a win and a tie is no good.
And you've got to look at the teams that some of the people are playing.
Yeah.
We have to heavily rely on Toronto FC.
Well, it would really help
we did that
if
once.
They at least – so we got some help from D.C. this weekend, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Ben Olsen, of all people, helped us
right.
out. We can't get Duncan Auten to help us out.
Chicago and Philly
– Yeah, seriously, Dunks, what's up?
Seriously. If Chicago and Philly are two teams that can really hurt us, but they both have very losable games – in their final week of the season.
This is the point
Philly,
of the podcast where I pull up the
Philly
schedule.
Plays,
the losable
Philly plays Kansas City. They host, but they play Kansas City.
Yeah.
Chicago goes to New York, which could be playing for Supporters Shield.
Yeah.
So those two games, very losable.
I didn't know if you knew teams. The losable games was actually the name of Chris's emo band in high school.
No, it totally
he wore
was.
Like a crapload of guyliner.
Yeah. Yeah, you have no idea.
Yeah. The losable games, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can hum a tune from that. I'd be impressed.
Yeah. It was just Alkaline Trio covers. That all right. was all. It, that was all it was. That was
no,
all it was.
No. I'm way too old for Alkaline Trio covers.
It was today.
It was Five Iron Frenzy covers.
Oh god, get that's not an emo band, dumbass.
Oh, you're right. It's
yeah.
Ska.
You suck.
Was there emo in 1997?
Because
I sure wasn't.
Alkaline Trio, you idiot.
Oh, well, I also went to high school in Kentucky. They didn't know what emo was. That was a bad.
They
Brad
didn't
Paisley
know what.
Song.
They didn't know what music was.
It was just George Jones.
Merle Haggard is Kentucky emo.
Merle Haggard is Kentucky awesome.
Mama Tra.
That's a hashtag right there.
Hello,
Merle Haggard is Kentucky emo.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love this. But is has to be fully capitalized.
Hello, Walls.
Yes.
I'm not even gonna.
What are we doing?
I was waiting for Nate to finish his thought.
Playoffs?
Yeah, we were talking about playoffs, right?
True.
The scenario that you brought up in your article, which is fascinating to me, is the fact that we could tie three other teams and make the playoffs. Your 4-for-47 scenario, which is...
4-for-47? Is that an ESPN special?
This is brilliant.
Yeah, there's four teams that could land on 47 points.
But don't we lose all those tiebreakers?
No.
Win them all.
No,
We win them all. No.
Because we didn't tie our brains out this year.
So the New England matches, the upcoming home-and-home against New England, it really is like a 19-point.
It's the most important matches of ever.
Yeah, exactly. They're both 6-point matches, so that's an incredible. Well, it's not even 6 points. They're actually
3-point matches. That's the most you can get in a match. I'm just letting you know.
I know it's your first time here, but you know. Yeah, I'm new to this whole sport.
The last third of the season has been
6-point matches.
Games,
yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm not even going to finish my thought. I'm just looking forward to.
I'm glad I could shame you into stopping talking. I'm not even drunk yet, and I just can't pronounce things.
Just slurring.
It's really Justin. Fascinating. And if you go on the Massive Report website and check it out and see exactly how it works out, I mean, this is an actual thing that could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what the ramifications of this would be for the playoff determinations, for the tiebreakers. If all four of those teams, if you think about Montreal, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Columbus, all finish at 47 points, and Columbus wins the tiebreaker, there will be a hue and cry like you have not seen in MLS in quite some time.
Yeah.
Because the one team that no one wants to go to the playoffs is Columbus. There was an article on MLSsoccer.com today that said why everybody should want New England to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should want New England to be in the playoffs.
Wow. So we're in a
support
position.
The fort.
We're not even being considered as a team still in the playoff hunt for any kind of journalism other than outside of
270. The 614.
There's journalism that talks about the crew inside 270.
Hey, that's weird. Every morning on my way to work, I hear Neil Sika do the Columbus Crew breakdown for 60 seconds on 610 WTVA.
Breakdown. Yeah, and that's purchased.
So. Hey, it's still on the radio on the number one AM station during drive time in the morning. It increases awareness.
On the radio.
And there was a change to the tiebreaker situation at the beginning of this year. Right?
Wait, MLS changed the rules?
I know.
What? Yeah, no, they changed the rules in the middle of the friggin' season. No, that never happens.
And they might benefit us though.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's another interesting aspect of this whole thing.
I mean, I wonder, do you think it's even changing teams' perspectives on how they will play these matches, how they'll approach the 33rd and the 34th games?
Yes.
I mean, if I'm an MLS coach.
We just go to win, you know?
Yeah. If I'm an MLS coach, unless I am mathematically guaranteed a playoff spot, which right now there are what, two teams?
One.
There's one team who is in the playoffs. If I'm an MLS coach, I go out to, win every game. I go the opposite of Chad Barson and expect to win every game.
Don't. I will beat them.
No, I'm just, I know. Chad's quote was very understandable and blah, blah, blah. But, if I'm an MLS coach.
I missed this, totally.
We'll come to that in the second segment. Because it's a great point of conversation.
Well, I do want to say, just for Paul Garlock, who's actually in the room, the shirt says Ray Rays.
No, he's not. He's getting me a beer. He's
in
the other
room.
Oh,
he's getting you a beer? Oh, he's in the other room. Yes. No. I'm not going to even read his tweet.
But anyway, I go out to win all the matches that I can win because it's the last 2 weeks of the year. And with the way this season has stacked up in this league, God only knows what's going to happen. Seattle figured that when they signed Clint Dempsey, they were a shoo-in for every award ever.
Yeah.
And look what's happened to them. They've been not just beaten, not just spanked. They've been embarrassed the past, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Two-ish.
Vancouver has, of all teams, Vancouver, the black horse of the West Coast, has Cascadia Cup. Garber probably.
Not the Supporter Shield.
Not the Supporter Shield, no. They have the Cascadia Cup. Don Garber is, he probably cried in a closet for 15 minutes.
Don Garber, actually, it took him about 20 minutes to realize Vancouver was in the Cascadia Cup.
Yeah,
that was actually the biggest thing. That was the biggest shock.
Cascadia
of the whole thing.
That's Seattle, Portland, and LA, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
no, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. And San Jose, for some reason, not included.
Yeah. And so the way this season has shaped up, you have no choice. If you're an MLS coach,
and the Charleston Battery,
you don't play to win. You throw out your top 11, unless you're Robert Garcia and then you put the 11 guys that you think are going to win the game on the field.
Yeah.
You throw out your top 11 guys, and you go balls out for 91 and a half minutes.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to come back in the second segment here because we did not hit
first
segment.
Sam, do I have time to ask Nate a very serious question?
Yes. Okay, well, let's do that.
So, then. Nate, here's my question. Because we've told a lot of jokes, and we've been kind of silly for this first segment because we all haven't seen each other in 7.5 days.
Yeah.
I need you to do me a favor and explain, like I'm five, what has to happen for the Columbus Crew to make the playoffs.
They have to win both their games.
Okay, so we have to get 6 points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who has to lose? Does everyone in front of us on
everybody.
The table?
Everybody.
There are scenarios. Chicago and Philly.
No, I'm not talking about to win a tiebreaker. I'm talking about to be the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference. We have to get 6 points, and everyone in front of us has to lose. Is that the most direct route to the playoffs?
No. The teams ahead of us, no one can win.
So they don't have to lose, but they can't win.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have to get 6 points, and everyone ahead of us has to get one or less.
Basically a loss and a tie.
Okay.
Two ties put you to 48, and we can't catch.
That's the most direct route. Other than that, it becomes convoluted and stupid like MLS is.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
That's a thing. All right, we're going to come back, second segment here, and talk about a winter schedule.
Winter schedule?
The hell? That's next, second segment. We call this the Massive Report. Pop open a bottle of bubbly. Here's another goddamn New Year.
And outside 2 million drunk Bostonians are getting ready to sing Auld Lang Syne out of tune. Sit there in my easy chair. Look at the clouds. Orange tree celebration. Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. Well, that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost.
And it's a second segment, Massive Report Podcast. I don't know. It's all like, we're talking about winter.
I like Aloe Black.
Yeah.
And who was the other guy? Avicii?
Avicii. Avicii.
Aloe Black does the singing. What does Avicii do?
I thought Avicii did the singing.
No,
maybe I don't know.
It's Aloe Black on the vocals.
The beats, I'm not.
Because I have Aloe Black's solo album.
I don't pay attention to things. You know what I...
I'm sorry, Matt.
You know I don't know things about things. I do want to say one thing real quick here. Nate Backman, who was on the second segment, his wife, Victoria...
He was on the first segment.
I'm sorry. This is the second segment. Yeah. Victoria, who was here last week and was on the show...
She was awesome.
Apparently just joined Twitter. And so... I do absolutely love the fact that her new Twitter handle is Cowlumbian, Cowlumbian, because she's from Columbus, or she's from Columbia, but she lives in Columbus. So that's fantastic.
She also loves cows.
She also loves cows, apparently.
She's not from Venezuela?
She's not from Venezuela.
It's not. I
she
thought it was
totally
Panama.
Hit you.
I thought it was Panama.
It was. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the mics.
Yeah,
Sam, fix this.
Sam, make this work.
Make this work. So,
God, we pay you to be an engineer.
Jim Bach is back.
Hello.
Did your tennis dates stop happening? Is that what happened?
Yes, they did.
It's the off season for Jim's tennis.
Fair enough. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Larry's with us as well. And we're going to be talking about, for the entire second segment here, news comes out. And Nate, I want to get to you first on this because you were part of apparently the focus group. So I want to. There was
Get the survey too?
Survey.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris got the focus group survey as
well.
So I want to talk about this.
I'm not special.
You're not that special, apparently. But
it's because we live in the same.
The
complex.
MLS is apparently sending out focus group surveys about moving the schedule to a winter schedule. So I want you guys, first of all, both of you, to tell me what this survey said. That's the first thing.
Survey said.
The survey said, would you be in favor of the MLS moving to a winter schedule?
Well, what kind of winter schedule? Because there's a lot of different things in there, because we can, you know, is it two seasons and then we have both of them play each other, like minor league baseball? Is it, you know...
Is it an aperture or clausura?
Yeah, all the way through. Is it? Is there a break? What's going on?
Nate, you're
going
to be way more...
There was a big break. They said there would be a break between, you know, January and February. It'd be 8 weeks off.
Yeah.
That was how they presented it.
Well, that's good, because
they didn't talk about
cold.
Competition. They didn't, you know, anything about that.
It doesn't get cold in Columbus at least until January 1st. And it immediately gets up to about 70 degrees in...
On February.
Yeah, February 28th.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
I think maybe the league owns some, like, rental property in, like, Lauderdale or, like, Puerto Vallarta.
Orlando.
Yeah, and so they want to get, like, all the fans going down for spring break.
Jim just hit the nail on the head. The league is now marketing to the retirees that live in Florida. Del Boca Vista Phase 2 is now their target audience.
This is just Slapshot, is apparently what it is.
Screw Phase 1, we want Phase 2. Del Boca Vista Phase 2.
Well, if we're going to follow NHL and take a, like, southern expansion, I mean, we're looking at Miami, we're looking at Orlando.
Right.
I mean, San Antonio, Phoenix. None of those folks would have a problem playing through the winter.
No.
You look at Toronto, you look at Vancouver, and you look at Montreal, which are the three stalwarts of that. Of that, I know that at least Toronto and Montreal have domes. Does Vancouver have a dome?
No. But okay. You can't forget. You guys are forgetting the one team that has.
Vancouver is a dome. Yes.
Okay.
Probably the worst winters in the entire league are in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is New England going
to
do?
That's what I was trying to do with the bump music out of the first, was the ice of Boston, and Sam turned it down too early. Sam, but, you know, whatever.
When was the survey that you guys
took?
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and so... And they asked explicitly... Like,
yes, the survey was regarding the schedule change. There were no other questions. It was a survey about the schedule change.
They had questions about other leagues.
Which other leagues do you watch? And
we should give Larry the headphones, because he doesn't know how quiet he is from that far back.
So how much?
What does that matter? What other leagues do you watch?
Well, Jim, come on. You know how high school is. You want to do what the cool kids are doing. And Don Garber wants to do what all the cool kids are doing. And the cool kids to Don Garber are England, Italy, Germany, and Spain.
Well, I want
to
do two.
I mean, the question Mexico. I think is: like, did they ask questions also about the TV deals and things like that? Like that,
no.
They asked, like,
no.
What other leagues do you watch?
It was more like fan. What do you assess about your own, like, interest? What fan impact would there be?
If they switched, would you still go
to games? Would you still have interest?
I want to get the pulse around the table here real quick. Hands up real quick, just so we can figure this out. If you just off the cuff like the idea of a winter schedule for MLS. One person.
Larry.
All right. Summer schedule. Hands up. All right. There's no undecideds. Sam, what do you say?
Sam doesn't
give a crap.
Sam just
used
wants
to go into games in Egypt, and it's super cold there, so he doesn't give a crap
Sam's
at all.
Sam's used to going to games where there's a revolution occurring, so he doesn't care about snow.
Fair enough, yeah. Weather really is kind
of
actually
get to use flares.
For safety purposes,
that's a good point.
Yeah, to let the helicopters know where not to shoot.
I don't know if MLS has quite thought this through.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to open the door for flares.
Mm-hmm. It will. I mean, for heat.
Yeah. I can see the point of having a winter schedule, and I think that it has to do completely with what we've seen over the last few weeks, with the fact that it is bad for our national team to be off like we are.
Oh yeah, it's terrible for the national team, who's the only team in the region that's qualified for the World Cup.
No, it's bad for us. It's bad for us. It totally is.
How many players on the national team play?
Because right now what we have is a system where the Jurgen Klinsmann calls in players to come play for his national team, and right now we have a teams that are involved in a playoff chase.
We have a plethora of teams involved in a playoff chase?
Almost all of them. And so Siggy Smith can say, well, we don't want... I'm not going to give you Eddie Johnson. I'm not going to give you Clint Dempsey. I'm not going to give you these players.
National team coaches all over the world have problems like that, because World Cup qualifications or, you know, European qualifications or South American they go on all the time, and all coaches have problems with that.
Yeah, it's not.
On the other hand, we are playing games in our league this week, there is no other league in the world that is playing games in their league right now because of our schedule. We have to make
this
work.
You can get around that easily by not screwing up the schedule and playing through the winter, but simply following the way that everybody else does and recognize that there are international weekends.
Exactly. Yeah. Period. And to do that, you play less games. Well, we play 34 games. That's ridiculous. We play 34 games. Why do we play 34 games?
Well, revenue.
Right. No, yeah. I know why. I'm asking rhetorical.
Well, we could play more midweek. We could play like one or two more midweek games.
Jim, do you want more Wednesday games in Columbus, Ohio?
If it means our national team is going to be stronger.
I wouldn't.
The Premier League plays 38 games.
They have 20 clubs.
Right. The Premier League plays home and homes once. Yeah. Right.
And so we're going to have 25 or 24 by the end of all this expansion. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a...
But we have a conference system. In the conference system, you don't have to play home and home against everybody else in the league.
That's fine.
In the conference system, you play home and home against the other 10 teams in your league. That's 20 games. So you throw in four or five extras against rivals or, you know, big TV draws or whatever. Yeah. And then
we play Colorado and San Jose.
Yeah, and Seattle to get Clint Dempsey to Columbus because the Columbus crew front office wants the Dempsey bump. So that gets you up to maybe 25 games. That leaves plenty of open dates for international dates. Justin, don't giggle at me.
I want to get Larry in on this.
To be like other leagues, so you're going to play a winter system, but you don't want to be like winter leagues in the way that you structure your league.
I want to get Larry in on this because Larry's the only one that was dissenting in his opinion.
I heard
on
he's
this
got a good
thing.
Point.
Yeah, so Larry, get on this. Nobody interrupt him because he's really shy.
And Larry explained his argument to me before the podcast, and it's a really compelling argument. And he could probably sway me.
Your face is a compelling argument.
Bite me.
Okay. All right. First one has to do with soccer is a cold, cool weather sport.
Yep.
It's not a summer sport. And the second one is they have to join if they want their quality on the field to get better. They have to start their season when the summer transfer window is open. Because the way Jim and I were talking before the season, the way I've come to think of the summer transfer window, you know, starting the season, is you think of it like a buffet. And players are transfer listed during that time.
Yeah.
Okay, not everybody is on a transfer list. Teams lock their players down. It's like expansion season, you know, Major League Soccer times a million. So there's only a certain number of players that can be purchased. And if you're not part of that game, I mean, what is it on the last transfer day? We're talking like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that is changing hands.
Right.
It's outside of the World Cup. Every year the transfer window, that summer window, is the biggest soccer sporting event in the world.
Yeah.
And Major League Soccer is not part of it.
Yeah.
And they don't have a seat at the table as far as like getting these players. And so, you know, from a very high level, like I know that playing in winter and in cold weather is not preferable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I happen to think you can schedule around it and that sort of thing. But, you know, Major League Soccer has to do whatever they can to get at that table.
Yeah.
And start getting the best players. I mean, this isn't just Europe we're talking about. It's, you know, Central and South America, going towards Russia, J-League, K-League, stuff like that. They have to become part of that. I mean, outside of the fact that soccer is a cold weather sport, so
cool weather sport.
That's the thing. It's a cool weather sport. It's not a cold weather sport.
Yeah, I think if you look at the teams objectively and take yourself outside of Columbus, Montreal, Toronto,
Chicago,
New England, Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
There are 8 teams in Major League Soccer where cold weather does not matter. Okay, that's nearly half the league, and then you have another 6 or 7 teams that are seasonal. In other words, you can't play like January, part of February. And so if they want to take 6 weeks off January and then half of February and then schedule around it for 2 or 3 weeks, you're in the March, and that's where we are now, is we're starting in early March, and you're off and running. So you have 4 months in the fall. You have your six-week break. You schedule around it for 3 weeks, and then you have 4 months.
Real quick, so by schedule around it, put the home games
in warm weather environments.
In Orlando.
And you're talking about 2 or 3 weeks.
You know, L.A.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the cold weather teams play road stands at warm weather teams.
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes sense. That's a very good argument.
And if you think about the Crew, they do that at the start of the year anyway.
Yeah, they don't play
because of the weather. Montreal sort of did that. They're already doing it. So you're only talking – it's not like NHL or NBA season where they're playing – 3 games a week. You're talking about 1 game a week. So
okay, so that's a really good point. That if MLS wants to recruit and get better on the soccer field, that they need to kind of fall in line with the rest of the world. My question for you is this, and I'm going to ask this absolutely seriously: what about the loss of revenue from TV contracts because we'll be competing directly with the NFL and college football, and also
NHL,
the NHL,
NBA,
and also the loss of revenue at stadium turnstiles for people who don't want to come watch a game in 41 degree weather.
I think that's a legit argument, but I also think that the money is not in attendance. Like, I know that they want stadiums at least partially full, but at the end of the end of the day, which is a phrase that I hate, fans are props. Okay,
no, and you're exactly right. They are. TV is the big money.
And after 20 years with this league, they're still scraping by and trying to get a contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're 20 years in, and so I think they're asking the question, like, how do we get more money? Okay, and so because $10 million contract with
ESPN
NBC Sports
is not. If ESPN is faced with a Thursday night college football game or a Thursday night Chicago San Jose MLS match,
but
they're not going to show.
But they're not really showing the games now, and they have no competition during the summer. Okay. I mean, they're showing 30 a year or something like
that. Larry, I've got a question for you, if I can crowd in just for a second. The argument is that is the only compelling argument I've heard.
Is the TV?
It's not the TV. Is the idea that you align your schedule around the transfer windows.
Yeah. Okay.
That is the only compelling, because for me, and this is what I was saying on the break, is that for me, this is a solution to a non-existent problem because there's not really – I don't really think that every 4 years losing some of the best players to the World Cup is that big a deal.
No,
I don't think – and to me, that's the only
– Well, they take the World Cup break anyway every 4 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
So – You have to remember I'm an old timer.
And actually,
back when we didn't actually do that.
And let's be fair. It's every 2 years for 2 years because you lose players for the World Cup qualifying cycle the year before, and then you lose players.
You got Gold Cup.
Well, Gold Cup.
And you have Gold Cup.
Gold Cup. Blah blah blah.
For me, the argument that you're not that you're going to increase revenue somehow. It's almost like the gnomes with the underpants. It's like is the idea that you're going to get more money because you're aligned with the transfer window, so you're going to buy better. I don't see that the league has the money to buy the players to get the money
without the TV
to get
deals.
It's not so much about that, but it's about the players that are available.
It's about becoming a better league on the field by aligning themselves with the transfer window.
They would have a lot more affordable, like players.
They're not affordable
in the right sweet spot.
Right.
They don't have that many sweet spot players right
now. But that's a really long con.
Wouldn't it be easier, and I'm going to think way outside the box here, wouldn't it be easier to get FIFA to come up with a different transfer window schedule than it would be to change the MLS schedule?
Well, no. Every country sort of has their own. So, I mean, it's not all locked into that one.
And that's what I'm saying.
I like your heads at, though, because eventually the United States is going to have a lot of sway.
What do you mean eventually? We already do. We're the biggest TV market in the world. FIFA pays attention to what we watch on TV.
We're going to watch those leagues anyway. Whether people watch MLS and whether people watch EPL or whether people watch La Liga doesn't have anything to do with when the transfer windows are.
No, exactly.
Most people who are watching don't even know when the transfer windows are.
So wouldn't it be easier to just get Sepp Blatter to move or extend that big international transfer
window than trick him? Into thinking that he's moving the World Cup, but he's actually just moving the transfer window.
You don't have to trick him. How much money does it take? Can we sell him? Can we give him some money to just make the world better for us?
If you have $11 billion, you can do whatever you want with Sepp Blatter.
It takes more money than we've got. Witness us not getting the World Cup.
Exactly. And I realize that I'm being extremely America-centric here in saying the world needs to align to where we are, and that's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it would be easier to get FIFA to bend its rules to make our lives easier than it would be to realign the entire MLS schedule to where we have to schedule around weather and we have to do this and we have to do that.
Well, I think scheduling around weather isn't – I mean, it's – most sports
don't. Oh, yeah, because you can predict weather.
Huh?
Yeah. You can predict weather in Ohio in November.
I think it fairly is predictable.
What they do is
what they do is that they
open up a block of time towards the end of their year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where they can say, here's a lot of these games that we're going to have to reschedule.
Yes.
Following Serie A for all these years, I mean, it's laughable almost, because what happens is, you know, you go for 2 weeks where there won't be a match because there's freezing rain, and then there's snow, and then there's you know, I mean, I think
Godzilla
that brings up one of the costs that's going to be that I don't know if the league or the owners are willing to pay for this, which is the infrastructure problem. If you think about what the field was like in February of 2011 for that CONCACAF Champions League, it was incredibly hard. It was icy. Yeah. It was like they were playing on pellets.
But are you talking about it?
Oh.
Am I talking about...
You remember that game.
How bad it was.
I'm one of probably 500 people who was at that game.
Yeah.
And the competition, the soccer, the quality of the game was
awful. Bad.
Was terrible.
It was super bad.
And, I mean, there were people, I still think that Emilio Renteria got a red card in that game just so he could get off the field. And I don't...
You go get warm.
I think that what's going to have to happen is they're going to have to retrofit these stadiums to handle these new conditions. And I think even worse, I think what they're going to have to do is make... There will be more stadiums with artificial turf than we have already. And to me, that's something you cannot trade for. Yeah. I don't care if it's... You know, I agree. I like watching soccer during the winter. I like watching Serie A. I like watching the Bundesliga. I like watching that. It just won't function here until we have a hell of a lot more money with bigger stadiums and roofs.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
I agree completely. All right, we're going to come back. Third segment coming up here in just a second. All of your questions at hashtag MRPod. For those watching, we're going to take a little bit of a break. How long, Sam? 10-minute break.
We're
going to come back. So if you have a question for us, tweet it to hashtag MRPod. We're going to get to all of them in kind of a rapid-fire segment next segment.
Wait, we're on, air?
It's live. Yeah. Nice suit, by the way. Coming back, third segment. It's the Massive Report live at Hendox.
Jim just... Bus to the outside world down to Louisiana. You can take her with you. I've seen the reins of the real world come forward on the plane. I've seen the Kansas of your sweet little myth. You never seen it, no. I'm half sick on the drinks you mixed. It's the deal, stand it up.
I'm trying to actually put the part of the song that I wanted on the... There we go. It was crew playoffs right there. Come on. No, I wanted to get the It's a Long Shot, My Chances Can't Get Worse. Yeah, that's the whole idea behind that. Thanks for wrecking my creative genius, Sam.
It's just been that kind of podcast today.
Yeah, it really has. It really has.
That's a ska thing, by the way.
It totally is. All right, so we have a lot of questions coming in from hashtag MRPod, and that's all we're doing in the third segment. So let's get started. Sam, question number one.
Excuse me.
A hacking cough.
What can I do for my terrible cold?
Somebody get Sam a lozenge.
The question is by our friend of the show, AJ Joe. Which MRPod contributor...
Which MR pod contributor would turn first in a zombie apocalypse? Chris.
I'm totally looking at Justin.
Justin.
He's way too nice. He would try to make the zombies dinner.
Justin.
But
I already have.
Yeah. Oh. Jim.
I'm going to go with Matt.
Yeah. I'm kind of fat. I'm not much of a runner.
Nate. I
consulted with my sister because she's a zombie expert. And,
that's a thing?
PhD in zombie studies.
Like she actually saw World War Z.
She actually
I saw World War Z and I wish I could unsee it. Mm. Yeah, honestly.
Was there, by the way, Justin, did you do a World War Z thing? Because why not?
No, I missed on that. All
right.
That's a good one,
Nate.
Though.
I need
I like
your
that.
Answer. We got to go rapid fire. We got a lot of questions.
Lamakia.
Lamakia. Really?
What?
Me, it's yeah. me because I can't run worth crap. All right, Sam, next one.
This is actually a serious question.
Serious question.
Should Bliss get the job? And how do you think? How long do you think his contract?
Who's this question from?
This is from R. Cram, Ryan Cram.
From Ryan Cram.
Okay, so should Bliss get the job, and how long should his contract be? We're going to start on the other side of the table here. Nate?
Yes, 3 years.
Jim?
No.
Justin?
I think so, yes. I think he should get it for a year.
1 year.
And then with an option for a second year. I think it's, yeah, why not?
Llama?
It's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be fair about this and do a round of interviews. Who else is available?
Yeah.
Who else can we turn down for this job before we hire Brian Bliss?
Jose Mourinho.
Jose yeah. Mourinho. You know.
Jose Mourinho.
Is it the chosen one?
I think he wants the job for the right reasons.
He does.
Which I think
everybody wants the job. There's nobody who wants the job for the wrong. Who wants the job for the wrong reasons?
I would want the job for the wrong reason.
I think there are I think there is decisions that can be made to hire someone into a job that are not to be the best soccer team that you can be.
Yes.
I think that's an absolute possibility.
Yeah.
And I think, honest to God, I think that's why Robert Warzia was in the job for as long as
he was
because they were hiring. They were continually rehiring.
That's hiring the wrong person for the wrong reasons. I'm saying that there are people who
will hire or want the job for the wrong reasons. And I think Robert Warzia wanted the job for the wrong reasons, kept the job for the wrong reasons, and I think that he was hired for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, next one.
Wow, this was a really that was a really important conversation.
Matt, I'm sorry, I really
agree with Justin's point that if Bliss does get the job, his initial contract should only be 1 year.
1 year.
To give him basically a full go at it. But otherwise, and then maybe have an option.
Nick has no confidence at all.
No.
I mean, that's already had like 10 weeks or something.
We'll give you like another 50 weeks.
Pep Guardiola, when Pep Guardiola was manager of Barcelona, he was manager of Barcelona on yearly contracts because that's what he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to let him rebuild the team somewhat in what he thinks and what his
vision is?
This is a really good point, too.
Regardless of whoever is coach, they're going to rebuild the team.
So, here's something that I've heard all year long, which is that this team has a lot of potential, a lot of talent, but it wasn't getting all of the potential and talent wasn't coming through because of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Now, we're saying we need to have someone who can come in and rebuild this team.
Well, that's not what I said. And actually,
no, I'm hearing this a lot, not just from you, but from other people. Like, this is, you know, the coaching staff sucked.
Had a lot to do with building this team.
Right.
I think,
so why would he need to rebuild it?
Yeah, Warzia would be the one
didn't Brian Bliss have a large part to play in building the current team?
That's what you said.
Yeah, he did.
So
he did.
So hasn't he already had his 1 year tryout?
No, no, no. If Bliss gets the chance, you see the normal MLS turnover, which is 30%. If Bliss does not, and you get a different coach, you see a 40% turnover.
This also begs the question: if Brian Bliss becomes the head coach of the Columbus Crew for 1 or 6 or 9 years. Who do you get to be the technical director to do the job of Brian Bliss? Because if Brian Bliss has been building teams, which we have heard have great potential and blah, 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 it's just the coaching staff sucks. Now that we have a coaching staff that doesn't suck, who do you get to be a technical director who's going to continue to build teams that are awesome?
Tony Galifo.
I hear Brad Friedel wants to come back.
I hear Eric Guinaldo wants to get
I hear Eric Guinaldo wants to come back.
Yeah, Stevie Nickel might be available if we can outpay ESPN.
Fair enough. All right, next one.
Friend of the show, former staffer, Aaron Katzman. What position should the next DP? What should our next DP be?
Yes.
If Mr. Precourt was to go after another one in this offseason?
All right.
He's not asking for a player. He's asking for a position.
Position. All right. Mr. Chris Lamaki. Holding
mid. Brian Carroll is the piece of the puzzle that we've never been able to replace. We need a holding mid. I hate to throw this name out, but we need a very Kyle Beckerman-esque player.
Right.
We need Michael Bradley.
He's a good MLS player.
Justin.
Mix Discarude.
Mix Discarude. There
and
you go.
he can play on the other side of Eddie Gavin.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. There you have it. Right. Championships will rain from the sky.
Deep line playmaker.
All right.
Defender.
Yeah. I'm actually agreeing with Chris on here holding mid.
You agree with me?
Yeah.
So for Will Trapp, we're just going to throw Will Trapp away.
No, I'm not saying that.
I actually think we need a finisher. We need an actual world-class finisher.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna
start expensive.
Goals are overrated.
That's why he's a DP.
We're going to start a Kickstarter to raise $15 million.
All right, Sam, next question.
Hey, Nicholas Bender's free.
Wait, really?
Hold on, I'm working on it.
All right, Sam's working on it.
Dear Tony Galifo, we're not going to answer your question.
Wait, yeah. Now you have to ask the question. What
he asked something about horse-sized ducks and duck-sized horses.
We already answered that question numerous times.
Not happening, buddy.
Horse-sized ducks and duck-sized
horses. Daniel Scott Andrews.
Yeah, this is a good question.
Do you believe that the atmosphere at CCS during USA-Mexico is achievable during Crew 96 matches, or is that due to traveling fans from all over?
Wait, and read his follow-up.
That's two different questions.
No, it's one question.
No, it's not. That's two separate questions.
Can Columbus create an atmosphere without outside help?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Do you think greater Columbus natives can achieve such atmosphere without the influence of other city supporters?
That's right. The question.
But, okay, but
Nate, let's start with Nate.
Yes, we can have that many people at Crew games every single match. Yes, we can have a great atmosphere every single match. The emotion, the passion of USA Mexico cannot be reproduced.
Jim.
Okay. We could have that kind of passion for USA Mexico only having people from Central Ohio in the stands. I don't think that we could have that kind of passion for a Crew match against anyone that was not maybe a playoff final with fans from anywhere. I guess in a way I'm agreeing with Nate.
You're saying that it takes a national team match to create that atmosphere, and it doesn't matter where the fans are from, you're never going to get that at a career.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying it's two separate questions.
Jables. Okay.
Yes, absolutely we can.
Okay. Chris.
Yes, absolutely we can. It's not going to be 25,500 people screaming their hearts out. It might be 12,000 people screaming their hearts out, but we can recreate that atmosphere with a smaller number with people that are only from Central Ohio.
I think we can to a certain extent, but I think it will be different. I think we can, but
I think
the passion
is different.
Yeah.
I think we can get crowds.
We can get crowds of,
I say, why not shoot for 20,000 a game and then have like five or six times during the season where you legitimately sell the thing out where it's full.
I
honestly think that the only way you do this is by changing the supporters, the structure of the supporters groups in the stadium.
The mentality of the supporters groups, where it's no longer a social club and it's a cool thing to do on Saturday night.
And the structure as well. I think we have to have another supporters section in the stadium.
I've said this a million times and I'll say it again. I would rather have 10,000 screaming fans than 20,000 fans that sit down and watch a game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And I know it's not the common thing, but since I'm doing it this year, I feel it more. At Ohio State games, people respond to the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? It is so loud, my ears actually hurt. I have to wear earplugs on the field.
No.
So, is that kind of passion available within our city? Absolutely. But we have to bring that to a different sport that doesn't have the generational tradition of Ohio State. I hate to bring Ohio State up.
No,
this
is a good point.
That this is there. And the same thing actually about the winter schedule too. People will go out to Ohio State games in the middle of December.
Yes.
And some of them will be half naked. So will the fan actually go out in the cold? Yes. Will they go out in the cold for soccer? No.
This is a really good point. The reason why that stadium is so loud, Ohio Stadium is so loud, is because of the scoreboard. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they have songs, music blaring out of that scoreboard. They have the bells that ring on third down that you can hear over here, which is a mile and a half away. It's directed. If we get to that point with Crew Stadium, then we've lost the supporters' culture, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And one thing that needs to be talked about is that they are replacing the speaker system in Crew Stadium.
It's been replaced, and it's
going to be next year. It's
gonna
live. It's going to be louder. I have a real problem with the music that they play before the game, because you'll notice that when we go into the stadium and we're there 15 minutes before the game starts, and the other supporter sections in other stadiums are cheering, and they're those people are creating the atmosphere.
Yeah.
In our stadium, people sit in the Nordeca, they sit and they're quiet, and they listen to Fallout Boy, or they listen
Black
to
Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas, or whatever stupid freaking song they're playing over those huge speakers.
Oh my God!
This has to stop.
But
I mean, I understand
that.
I understand the reason why they do it. It's because it's done in every sporting venue everywhere in the world, everywhere in the United States, and it appeals to a certain sports fan. But we can't do that if we want to have a legitimate, authentic. I'm sorry, the word organic keeps coming to mind.
You're exactly
organic
right.
Supporters, soccer supporters culture in Columbus, Ohio. Then don't do that.
Yeah.
Let the people come in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour before the game and create the atmosphere. This is what they beg for all the time. Why are they not doing it? Well, it's because you're blaring rock music or this crappy pop music from 7 years. Yeah, from 7 years ago. That just drowns everybody out.
Yeah,
so we have
Jock
to sit
jams.
There for half an hour and listen to this.
Well,
let's do something different. Let the supporters be supporters. Let the atmosphere exist.
We used to, yeah. I mean, my biggest complaint about the Nordeca in 2012, 2013 is why don't we sing the anthem anymore?
Yeah.
There were times when we used to drown out the PA singing the national anthem. Now, I can't get 10 people to sing along with the anthem.
Yeah.
And that's not even before the game. That's like as the pregame is happening. That's a thing that just people do. I can't go to an Ohio State football game or anywhere. I went to a high school football game a couple weeks ago, and it took all I could do to not scream the anthem.
Yeah.
But I don't want, you know what? I don't want Crew Stadium. And I hope there's a lot of people who agree with me. I don't want Crew Stadium to be like the Schottenstein Center.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, there is this movement in amongst the Crew supporters culture. I think it started about 2 years ago. And it's sort of been building and taking shape, where that's what they want. They think that means if you have a supporters culture that is like that, like the Nut House, then it will be more legitimate in the eyes of the Crew, of the Columbus consumer or the Columbus medium. Fine, if that's what you think it's going to take, then you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Don't kill it. Let it kind of be its own thing.
Sorry, but bringing up what I brought up, I was not meaning to go that way.
No.
I know
exactly right.
Yeah.
You were exactly right.
Availability within the Columbus.
But
Sam's exactly
Sam, wait. Sam's very first sentence in his statement was the most important: is that fans react to the scoreboard, but not the game.
Yeah, I mean the.
And that's
clap
just
for a good play.
Right. But they react
the
to the
soccer.
Scoreboard. We don't.
I mean, Crew fans react to the game.
Exactly.
A segment of the new. All right,
okay.
next question.
Kalen McGoldrick.
Yes.
Friend of the show. What about increased injury due to cold weather, hard ground, slick turf?
That's a great question.
Well, Clinton Dempsey doesn't play for us, so we don't have to worry about that. We have actual men that play on our team, and they have all. We're PG-13. I can't go there. Never mind. But
yeah.
we have men.
Justin.
Those are good points.
Yeah.
What about those? Those suck.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Jim.
I think that Don Garber should be answering that question and not me.
Yeah. Nate?
Yeah, I agree. I think the quality of the game is in jeopardy, too, in like 25-degree games.
Wait, you don't like Route 1? What's wrong with you?
It's like USA Costa Rica. That was fun to watch on TV, but I don't want that happening like...
Well, we kind of mentioned this in
every season.
We kind of talked about this during the break.
It's difficult.
You know, if we want to bring more expensive players to come and play for MLS teams during those transfer windows, then we're not going to get them in Columbus.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to come and say, okay, well, you're going to offer me $15 million, $20 million. Okay, I can get that playing for the Miami, whatever, Beckhams.
Heat.
Or I can get half that playing for them and not subject myself to
the crap
freezing
weather.
Cold weather. And
especially when we seem to be getting more and more, and not just us, but a lot of clubs around the league, we seem to be getting more and more of our best players from Latin America,
right.
And they're not going to want to do that.
No, they're not. Mm. All right. So,
although Andres Mendoza did play in that game,
he did. He did,
and he was very cold.
He didn't do much, but he played.
He had
all right. Last question for the listeners segment. Sorry if we didn't get to yours.
The question is from Dan, who's actually in here.
Yeah, Dan's right.
Dan's back.
Right there. Dan, who has an LA Galaxy jersey on his wall.
Never mind.
We're not answering this question. No.
Which player? I told you I was going to bust on you for it.
Which player is most likely to never play another minute for the Crew? Matias Sanchez or Glover?
Oh,
Sanchez, that's a good
Glover.
Question.
Yeah, that's
a
really
good question.
I saw that one and I.
All right, we'll start with Chris. We'll start with Justin.
Wait, no. I got Glauber,
okay. Justin.
I got to say Sanchez.
All right.
Sanchez, but I wish it was Glauber.
I'm going to say Sanchez as well. Sam, you got one?
Why did you say Glauber?
I said Glauber because...
wish fulfillment.
No, it's not wish fulfillment. It's because Glauber plays one position. Yeah. Glauber is a center back, and we have a lot of center backs.
We also have Will Trapp.
But Matias Sanchez can play other positions. I'm sorry, Matias Sanchez.
Matias.
The Sanchez kid can play other positions, whereas Glauber cannot.
Yeah.
And also Glauber makes more money.
Have we tried Glauber at striker?
have we? At where?
At striker.
What's that?
Do we know how much Sanchez makes?
Not target. As much as Glauber.
It's over 200, right?
It's between 150 and 200.
Yeah, I think it's 170.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
But Glauber's making what, 225?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's Glauber. No, over 200.
Glauber's making 225 to watch games.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Glauber is one Chad Marshall concussion away from being our stalwart center back.
So is Matias Sanchez. I'm sorry, Matias.
Matias
Sanchez.
Which is why I voted for a defender for the DP.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Great questions, everybody. We're going to come back in the fourth segment, and talk about New England. It's coming up next. It's the Massive Report. Segment 4 of the Massive Report.
Jack Nicholson dies in this movie.
That's sad.
If you haven't seen it,
spoiler. Much better Jack Nicholson than Jack Nicholas.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know, at the end of the day.
Jack Nicholas is not in The Departed.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's the whole point that I'm making. That would have been really awkward in that movie if that would have happened.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So we have one more listener question. Emily Argentine. What's up? So I want to get to this before we start talking about the actual game that's happening this week. Thanks for being late. Seriously.
Well, to consult the wisdom of the Massive Report, would you like a puppy-sized elephant or an elephant-sized puppy?
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
I like Clifford and the big red dog.
Yeah. No, elephant-sized puppy. Holy crap, that'd be amazing.
Yeah,
oh my god.
Super like, cuddle. Although
super.
You say super cuddle?
No, I said super cuddles. Although, do I live in an apartment complex where I have to clean up the poop, or can I live in a
does he live on a ranch?
The girl who owned Elizabeth lived in a house.
Wait, who's Elizabeth?
The girl who owned Clifford.
Clifford.
Right. Named Elizabeth. Yeah,
right.
Named
and she took him to the park every day.
She lived in a house, and they like had a garage in the back to hold Clifford.
Right.
Here's my question. They never said in those books how they cleaned up Clifford's deuces.
That's what I'm saying.
The
poop situation here is very, very important. It's a critical piece of the puzzle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, totally. Elephant.
Elephant-sized puppy.
Puppy-sized.
Well, also...
No. Yeah, an elephant puppy-sized.
Elephant puppy-sized.
Oh. Then you could transport them. You could take them around. Think about the conversation piece.
And also, it's like the guy who has the little tiny giraffe, the Russian warlord guy.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Justin, I need you to weigh in on this before we go to the...
Yeah, Justin, you have to give a serious answer.
On the matter.
Okay, fair enough.
First is that Clifford the Big Red Dog is obviously a metaphor for the Red Scare. I can get into this more deeply.
Says the guy with the hammer on his shirt.
Somebody get Joe McCarthy on the phone.
The other aspect of it is, can you imagine if that dog just was, you know, trying to train the dog, and the dog kind of, you know, loses it a little bit, and they call in the National Guard to bring the dog down, and they're like
King Kong,
and all these guys are like, oh, I have to shoot the dog, but it's so
cute.
It's a giant freaking puppy. That dog would basically run roughshod across.
Yeah. I also want to know
why the heck are we doing
this? I want to know what Clifford's mom looked like.
Why? Why do you want to know what Clifford's mom
looked like? Because that's a bigger dog. Because he was a puppy and she had to give birth to him, so that's an even
maybe
bigger dog.
You're making some big assumptions.
Just elephantitis, you know,
naturally.
Yeah, it was
some, like, larger.
It was near the atomic plant, and it ate some crazy weeds, and bang.
I'm going to guess that Shaquille O'Neal's
mom
was not like
ate some crazy weed
tall.
One time.
That was not a good night. That was not a good night at all.
All right, so let's talk about Boston.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Here's the deal. Crew have to win, too.
Wait.
Thanks, Emily.
Big dick. Thanks, Emily.
New rule. During the segment, we all have to drop a Oz and do our best Boston accent.
Boston accents. Yeah. No, we're not going to do that. Okay. That's not a thing. That's totally not a thing. So
chop me up and feed me to the poor? What other crappy...
What are you on?
I mean, good Boston movies are there.
Well, by the way, the bump music, that's too soon. Talking about losing your leg right after Sam's injury.
Ooh,
holy crap. I couldn't even watch that.
Now I feel sad.
That was real.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so I'm okay.
So,
I was watching the World Series last night, or the ALCS last night.
Yeah, so I think Justin's going to...
You can go home.
Gonna,
you with the thumbs down to my
take
Boston
care of
hat,
this
you
for
can
you.
Go home.
Yeah, here,
unfortunately.
Watch.
I don't know. So I'm an old Bengals fan, and I watched Tim Krumrie's leg crack like 80 times in a row in the, you know, in the Super Bowl. A million years ago.
Are you going to talk about
I can't
Joe
watch
too?
Terrible injuries like this anymore.
Are you going to make me watch this? This
you don't is have to watch
I mean,
it.
You know, it's up to you.
I'm totally going to watch it.
Oh. As Justin.
Oh, I missed Ow. It. I missed it. I was looking at Matt.
It makes everything sad.
Right. They'll replay it like 12 times.
Okay, in an awful way, and whole Mass Report wishes him well, this does affect the lineup. The next two matches. In the next match only,
make it happen
Lee Wynn is not available. We're all watching this grossness. But he picked up another yellow, so he'll be out of the match in Gillette Stadium.
Wait, it's Wynn and not Nugent?
It's actually it's not actually referred to as Gillette Stadium anymore. It's the Bouncy House.
It's the Bouncy
House.
No,
it's the Bouncy House.
Okay.
I thought it was
the Here's the deal. The crew have to come into the Bouncy House, which is the worst surface in Major League Soccer, bar none. Right? And they have to win a game. Yeah. Now, they've done that before. They've done that numerous times. At the same time, at the times that they've won a lot of those games, there were a lot of other crazy, hard, concrete surfaces in the league.
Namely New York.
Namely New York. Namely, not D.C. as much. But, you know, you look at that, and they're not used to, and they were, Toronto. Was hard surface at that point. You look at those and you look at what's going on now. New England is really our only quote unquote hard turf game for the entire season.
Right.
What does that do?
First, ew.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a horrible leg break. Let's not play it seven times.
You know, things like the turf and the weather and the ref. I've.
Tim just runs in to watch it.
No.
You can tell the doctor in the crowd because the doctor in the crowd's like, ooh, severe injury.
Compound fracture. No, the weather here is a big if.
Yeah.
Because it could snow in Boston this weekend for all we know.
Well, so in factors like this, so if it's an equalizer, if it takes – a talented team and levels them out with a less talented team. That's one thing. I actually think, I mean, the crew have been playing pretty well lately, but it could throw them off.
Yeah.
Rebs have been hot and cold. I think they won their last game, right, this weekend. They're inspired, and they feel like they can get to the playoffs too.
Yeah.
This is really dangerous. This is obviously not just because it's on the road, but I think it's
It's dangerous for the crew in a lot of ways.
Justin, what do you think?
I have angst.
I don't know. I mean, it's just going to be a... It's the tournament.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, you win and you... Maybe you have a chance.
Yeah.
And I think these are two equally matched teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's
like
a question...
Seven games in a row, which is just scary.
Yeah, there's a question, though. I mean, is Higuain going to play?
Yeah.
There's this thing that keeps coming up. He wasn't in training again today.
Yeah. He plays. He absolutely plays. There's no way that Brian Bliss ties him down and keeps him. Unless Brian Bliss ties him down, he's playing in this game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it brings into question what is the focus of the organization?
I mean, they're going to look ahead.
They could be looking ahead right now.
I said there's no way to do that.
Yeah, no, not at this point.
No.
The focus of Anthony Precourt and the organization right now is to win games. And Brian Bliss is coaching for a job. The players are playing for their careers.
That's true.
No, he really is. This is a tryout for him. He's coaching for his job. The players are playing for their careers. There's no way that Anthony Precourt is trying to make a name for himself with his early start. I mean, everybody's going to write off the games since he bought the team. It's just kind of that's his honeymoon period, and his real ownership doesn't start until season opener next year. But he's going to do everything that he can to put the emphasis on the club to win the game, and the coach is going to put everything he can on the players to win the game, and everybody involved that makes the trip to New England is going to win the game. Chad Barson be damned.
Me.
What are you talking about? I missed... Why are we busting on this kid?
So Chad Barson had a very, very, very... A very good quote. He was talking about the difference in the Dispatch a couple days ago. It was the difference between the college game and the pro game. And he said that in college, a lot of teams will run the table and win every game. But in the pros, you don't expect to win every game. You know you're going to lose a few. And that quote was taken out of context by a few random people around the blogosphere and around
Tony
the Twitters and around around the Facebooks, to where Chad Barson doesn't expect to win games.
Yeah.
Which is not at all what Chad Barson said. What he said. What he said was that in college, it's possible for teams to win every game. In MLS, that's not a thing that happens.
Right.
Nobody goes undefeated in this
nobody
league.
Runs the table in this league.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Chad just said that he understands that you're not going to win every game, and that's a thing that you just deal with.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Portland's only lost 5 games.
Yeah.
They played 33.
I'm sorry.
They've drawn
sorry.
A crap.
How many games? Wait, Nate, how many games have they lost?
5.
That's more than 0 point stance.
That's right. But at some point, when we get to 24 teams, I think somebody might go undefeated.
You think, really?
No one's going to run the table.
No.
I think so.
I'm not
saying they go 34-0.
Yeah,
no.
that's 20-0-14.
Right, where they don't lose any games? No, I still don't think.
22-0-12?
Oh, it could totally happen.
Anyway.
You start spending money.
It could happen.
You start spending
money. It could, but I don't think it will. Yeah. Right? I think there's definitely a chance, but I don't think it will.
And
the more teams we have, the more the outliers are going to be super great and super bad.
Justin brings up a good point. Is it going to be a team with huge deep pockets like New York, Seattle, L.A., or is it going to be one of the clubs like Columbus and MLA in 08 where we came out and beasted on the entire league and just ruined everybody?
Yeah.
And came out of nowhere.
Well, one of the appealing parts of the league right now is that it's so even.
Yeah.
There's the dreaded parody word. Which, you know.
We don't mind it.
No, we don't mind it. It works for us.
It works for us. Yeah.
But, you know, Juve went on a tear of, like, I don't even know how many games they won in a row over 2011, 2012.
Has anybody ever gone undefeated?
Did Arsenal go undefeated?
I don't think they did. I know that they set a record for wins in a row.
Yeah. I think they did, didn't they, at one point in time? I can't remember.
Can't remember.
I don't pay attention to that league because I hate them.
Well, that's because you hate money, Justin.
But
you hate money.
The thing about Higuain that I was getting at whether or not he was going to play. Well, not really a point. We're just like throwing something out. He came pulled up during that last match at home where he was clearly grasping at his hip.
Ah, 10th minute.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was something that was noticeable. And he stuck it out and he played for the rest of the game. And again, we started off talking about the quality of this turf.
Yeah.
This is a kind of turf that can exacerbate an injury like that if it's something that's like where you're putting strain on a joint or on a muscle. I'm not a doctor. We have doctors here.
Yeah. Actually, let's get Tim in on this.
Oh God, we're gonna
Tim. Come here.
We're gonna consult a professional.
Well, he's a brain surgeon.
That's where the problem. We don't need you.
But not really, brain surgeon. But okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just calling.
How
you
does turf affect your brain? Discuss.
No. So if you have somebody who's injured, right?
Yes.
And they're running,
yes.
right? And they're running on concrete or a concrete-like substance, which is the flubber that is the grounds of Gillette Stadium, how much does that exacerbate an injury versus running on grass?
Well, it's definitely not as good for you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Our resident doctor. Our resident doctor.
That was
I do brain injury.
Yeah, brain injury. I'm so a surgeon.
If they fall, if they fall on the concrete versus fall on the grass,
bad news.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad
news. Still screwed, but they're screwed worse.
I got the brain part.
Yeah.
That was the best thing. Dr. Pot.
No, wait. So, legitimate question here, and thanks, Doc.
That was the best thing you've ever
done. So Philly and Montreal play at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Yep.
No.
If Philly wins that game, we're done.
No.
Montreal could lose both.
It's damn Calvin ball at this point.
Montreal,
I have Montreal, no idea what's going
it's
on.
It's completely awesome.
Montreal could lose
I have no idea.
To L.A. Montreal could lose to Philly, meaning they're still catchable
from
the crew. So Philly wins that game, we can't catch Philly.
Right.
But there's one more spot to take.
At what point do we have to have alternate sack races and alternate Saturdays to determine
so
the playoff opponent?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Don't ask for parity if you can't handle it.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I mean, that's
what
it is.
You can't handle the parity!
One of the six games that matter. But they all matter.
They all matter. Okay,
better,
so my God. My
Wednesday night's easy. Wednesday night's easy. Root for L.A.
Yeah.
That's all. It's the 4-for-47 scenario, which I really hope happens.
Yeah, that'd be
awesome. I really, really, really
hope. And also, if that does happen, can we get Don Garber on a live feed so we can watch his head explode?
I'm Don Garber and my head explodes.
So no, I mean, the Higuain thing, I'm going to stand by my previous statement. He's going to play. It's going to take some act of God to keep him from playing.
What I love is that he made it that way.
Exactly.
He would play, with...
Well, this
1 foot.
This last game, where in the 10th minute, he's clutching his hip. Andres Mendoza would have been,
take this out.
Hey.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's necessarily even best for the crew in a lot of situations. I was talking to Victoria about that. It was 60 or 70% of Higuain, maybe better than a sub, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, 60% of Higuain is better than 115% of Justin Mirren.
At some point, the coach is going to have to override him.
Sorry, Justin.
At some point, the coach might have to override that, but he's got the passion to want to be on the field. He's not going to be like, turf? Screw it.
And also, Brian Bliss knows that if Higuain does hurt himself, he's got 2.5 months to recover before preseason starts.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
That's fair enough.
He's going
to
be fine.
All right, so we're going to go into score predictions real quick here, and we're going to wrap this thing up, put it to bed. We're going to start with Nate, because I've been staring at Chris, and I really want to throw Nate off fun, because that's what I do. What do you think? Crew versus Revs. I'll be there. I think the only one that's going of the entire staff.
Of the staff, yes.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of people that are going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know that Emily and Tim are going. I know
Paul
Katie's
going.
I know Paul Garlock's going. I know Morgan Hughes is going. So there's a lot of people that are going to this game. I'm just saying of the people on the show.
Right.
I'm the only one that's going. So what do you think, Nate?
1-1 tie.
1-1 tie. God, I hate you.
I know.
I hate you so much right now. I wish I could hate you to death right now.
That's sad,
Justin.
I don't think I've ever heard that before in my life.
Oh, I stole it from Penny Arcade. It's fine.
Oh, I thought it was Shakespeare.
It was Shakespeare. That was actually in Hamlet. I don't know if you knew
that. I wish
that
I could hate you to death.
I wish I could hate you to death by now.
All right. You're dodging the question.
Poor Ophelia.
I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win.
Do you believe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two to one.
Justin.
All right. Chris.
2-0 to the crew.
2-0 to the crew. Sam.
Sadly, I think the Reds are a bit hotter than we are.
Oh, I hate you. Oh, all right. So
those were doctored.
I'm gonna say 3-1 to the crew.
All right.
Because it's the bouncy house, and anything can happen at the bouncy house. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's just
the one goal that New England scores is gonna be on it's going to be on a goal kick.
There's also a Barbasol Gillette thing happening in the next 2 weeks.
There really
is it really?
I really hope.
It only makes sense.
Such.
All right.
Yeah, I hope they take that out.
That's amazing. All right.
His shaving cream cup.
His shaving cream cup.
Something. Why don't they do that?
They are.
I mean,
I don't know.
That's freaking brilliant.
All right. So for Justin, Chris, Sam,
are they doing
Nate,
that?
Everybody
is that
else
thing?
That's involved on the show, my name is Matt. This has been the Massive Report Podcast. At the time, my life just seemed too complete, and maybe we have to break everything to make something better of ourselves.
Thank you.